3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome to J2K Podcast. I'm Jeff.
I'm Justin.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Rochelle.
Kareen couldn't be here tonight. She is helping Aaron do one of her 50 for 50s.
She careened into other obligations.
That's correct. And we just got done eating Thanksgiving dinner because this is our Thanksgiving special!
Yeah!
No, do it. Wait, don't steal our thunder. Come on, babe, give us the turkey. What, you can't like do it where we can see your face?
She pulled a blanket up so we couldn't see her face.
Well, it's more because I start laughing if people are staring at me. And then I can't do it when I've got cheekbones. I need to have a relaxed face.
You gotta have those loose lips.
That's it.
Great minds.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god.
So I wanted to start out tonight following up on some emails that came in. Like, we've got a couple of emails
that we wanted to respond. We got like 500 emails, but we're going to respond to a couple.
Well, yeah, 500 minus 498. First of all, our friend Jeff D, he emailed last week.
Jeff D!
And he said something, and we were confused about what he said about, like, needing J2K Podcast and, like, he's wiped a certain way or something like that.
You were confused. I know Jeff. I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Okay, well, I didn't know about it and you didn't tell me, so then I remained confused.
I don't really know Jeff, but I love him already.
So, he responded to us a little bit more aggressively than just being nice.
Oh.
And said, I wrote J2K to define Kareen's addition to the podcast. I need J2K in my life like I need to set to poop because he sets to poop. Good grief, people.
Aww.
Yeah.
And I just responded as J2K Podcast and said, we are sorry about the confusion, but we are sure we are more confused now about your emails than before. We think you should come on the show to explain.
Yeah, Jeff. Yes.
So we love you, Jeff D, and we're always going to talk like that until you're actually here, and then we won't because we don't want you to beat us up.
You know, you're one of our thousands of listeners, but you're still really important to us, Jeff.
Yeah.
He stands out.
He does.
And I like his D.
Yeah.
I love the D.
Doesn't like a good D.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeff D. Like Jeff's D.
God.
So, we also have a follow-up email, like, because we talk about body functions on this show. I don't know if you know it or not.
What?
Yeah. And it started out very innocently as Justin's standing to wipe. And now it has progressed to, hey, when was the last time you shit yourself? And if everybody remembers last week, Rochelle, who's now here with us tonight, wrote us a very great story email about her experience in what store?
Ross Dress for Less.
Ross Dress for Less, yeah. Where she made a lady think that her baby had pooped itself.
Yep.
And our favorite part, I think, was the first line of defense comment.
I was watching, it was funny, after you had written in, he read that, I was watching something on TV and that, like, it was an experience, it was on Jimmy Fallon, somebody was talking about how this had happened to them, and they used that line.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the guy that plays, it's Chris Evans.
Yeah, but it was on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
What?
So and Chris Evans, they have this thing where, like, it's two people go on, and somebody asks a question while the other one's wearing headphones, and they have no idea what the answer is.
Anyway, yeah. Which was the most embarrassing story that's ever happened to you? So,
but they
Chris
use
Evans
the line
is telling his brother's story, and it's like they're at a ski resort, they're kids, and his brother poops himself. And so the dad takes him in, and the underwear get thrown away, and then it's like does it again, and then the long johns get thrown away, and now they're down to the last line of defense.
The ski suit.
Craps himself.
Oh my gosh!
he had bowel issues.
The funny thing was, is when the guy took his headphones off and tried to guess which story it was when he pooped himself in a car.
I know.
As an adult. I'm not a kid.
He's like, and I answered Chris Evans
like, oh my god, yeah, I forgot about that. Pretty funny.
But he did use the line of defense.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
We had another listener email us, and it's somebody we work with named Amber.
Which one?
From where Justin works.
Oh, okay.
The one that works for you guys doesn't like me. I don't think she listens to this.
I don't think she likes anybody.
Yeah, well.
Anyway.
She likes me.
Okay. Well, of course.
Moving on.
Amber writes, shit happens summer of 2019. This is quite an embarrassing story, but I will share it just for you guys. My husband and I decided to take a road trip to the lake. We had our fishing poles, rafts, and cold beer in the cooler. It was what felt like the perfect day. Although I had been gassy all day from overindulging in hummus,
oh God.
I'd lift the left leg and let one rip. Then a few minutes later, I'd lift the right leg and so on. Luckily, we already had the windows rolled down, but it really didn't help as much as you think it would. My fart box was far too dangerous during the drive, and nothing could save us. Air quote, fart box. The seams were disintegrated from the seat of the car, and the paint was melting after each blow. Husband is freaking out. I'm laughing. We are both gagging, and then suddenly everything got quiet. Well, I did it, y'all. It happened. Things got a little too warm all of a sudden, and we didn't have heated seats.
Yep.
I sharted. Maybe. I fucking sharted. I honestly didn't know at first if the fart was just stuck or if it happened. I turned to my husband and I said, I think I just shat myself. He says, yeah, you did. And I say, no, for real. And we both sat in silence for the rest of the drive until we reached the lake. Just once we got there,
mouth breathing it.
I waddled my fart box to the restroom. I sit down and find out that I have created a work of art in a single shade of brown, and it wasn't pretty. So I sat there wondering what to do, and all I could think of do was, well, oopsie, I made a poopsie. Not caring who heard. Must have said that out loud. Oh, she yelled it. Oopsie, I made a poopsie. So I took off my white shorts, which luckily were saved from my bathing suit bottom, threw my bathing suit bottom away, and made my way to the lake for a swim. I understand this is disgusting, but I was too far from home and without a change of clothes. Shit happens.
Pro tip, little pro tip here. You couldn't just, I'm assuming they were in a lake, right? Or a stream swimming.
We were heading to a lake.
Rinsed it out.
Like, yeah, get in the water from the above the waist, pull your pants down and run around. And run around.
Those fish.
And like agitate like a washing machine. Like when you pull them down and then run under water like this with the water up in here.
And scrub.
Get some moss on a rock.
Nobody can see, but I was like imitating how you would clean your drawers out in the lake.
Shimmying.
Yeah, you gotta shimmy walk through the thing.
It's a lot of gyrating.
Amber sent me or showed me a video on her phone, and she was taking a video. I think it was like a beautiful sunset or a nighttime video, and like as soon as she started filming it, her husband didn't know she was filming and ripped the biggest fart. Oh, I love it.
That's like people will do sunset photos, but they'll have somebody's ball sack hanging down the corner of the phone.
Like slowly dip down the phone.
Well, it's not a video, it's just a picture.
Oh my god.
And you're like, what is that? And you zoom in, it's a nut sack. But they do it in a way where it's just the nut sack. You don't see anything else.
Okay. So that reminds me of something.
All right.
You know, Dan.
What ball sacks remind you of something?
You know, right?
Me too. Yeah. 88 miles per hour!
So bad. You know Dan, so you know he's not going to care if I share this story, but back when Dan and I were mating. Dating. I mean, we were doing that too, but. Yeah.
It was like a practice run.
It was a lot of practice. Anyways, sorry, Dad. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
When we were dating, we both worked graveyards, so we would fall asleep whenever we could because we were trying to see each other and go on little dates and have breakfast and all that jazz. Well, as the relationship progressed, like, I would fall asleep on his couch and, you know, and then head off to work or what have you. And later throughout the day, he'd send me pictures of me sleeping. And I'm like, why are you sending me pictures of me sleeping? That's so weird, but I guess kind of sweet, creepy. I don't know. Well, as I look at the pictures and as I get more throughout the day, I notice there's a penis making its way into the picture frame.
Slowly.
Slowly.
Oh, that's
while
great.
I'm sleeping. So there's just like so me passed out on a couch with like dick right here.
So he took a progressive.
Yeah, yeah. Different angles, if you will.
I love it.
And send them to me without a word throughout the day.
Make a little flip book out of it.
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious. I thought
and then run it backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards.
Yeah,
they did it well.
So that's what the
that's
balls
right.
dipping reminded me of.
Yeah, it is a.
And I just pantomimed balls dipping for those of you that can't see it.
Yeah.
And I just learned that pantomiming is where you do the action of the thing you're talking about.
See? Just now?
We're already getting to the part where we learn stuff.
You just now?
Into the game.
Learn that?
Yep.
Right on.
And right now, you guys can't see this, but I'm pantomiming learning stuff.
Isn't that a French word?
I think it might be.
I don't know what the...
Because it has mime in it?
Like,
no.
Pamplemousse.
Mimes are French, you're correct.
Pamplemousse.
Pamplemousse.
I love that.
I
grapefruit.
Love that
pamplemousse.
For grapefruit.
Is it because mimes act stuff out too? Is that why they call it? Panty
yeah.
mime?
Maybe they just... Never mind. I thought I had something for this. I don't know.
Nope.
That's a big no. Well, that there's something else that has been going through my mind. I don't know how many of you, the three or four people that listen to us, 100 minus 300. If you watch TV, then there's a commercial on TV for Pizza Hut, and they have...
Not Pizza Hut.
Delivery.
It's Domino's. I know where you're going.
Same thing.
Whatever, Pizza Hut, Domino's,
no, but,
it's all the same to me.
Okay.
No, Pizza Hut has the delivery insurance. Mm. It's called delivery insurance. Like, I thought it was pizza insurance. Because I just saw the commercial a couple times, and I literally am like, what in the ever-loving fuck is happening here? So, the commercial is, they're like, here at Pizza Hut or Domino's, whoever we are, we have... delivery insurance. So if your pizza is wrong, we will get one right. We'll fix it. And it shows like a lady who's a manager, and she's like, "We've got an expedite disorder," and she's running through the kitchen, and they're like cooking a pizza, and they put it in the thing, and then she's at somebody's door, and they're like, and the person's like, "Oh my god, a pizza!" And she's like, "Yeah, we heard your order was wrong."
Oh my god.
So I got fucking questions, like, cause they didn't answer them on the commercial, right? So. What?
Domino's.
It's Domino's. Okay.
Carry out insurance.
Hey, did you do Pizza Hut delivery insurance?
I'll go there right now.
Yeah, do that. Thanks.
What are your questions?
My questions are, how does it fucking work, first of all? So, like, you bring me a pizza and it's wrong? I'm gonna fucking eat the pizza, okay? Because when I order pizza, I'm fucking hungry.
Yeah.
And so, you're gonna run back and make another one and bring it, and then I'm gonna be like, I just fucking ate, man. Like, I don't need this pizza. Like, give it to the homeless dude. Like,
because when I'm hungry,
right.
I'm ready for that pizza.
So if that's not the case, then, and I've read about it. I know about it now, and I have it all written down. I'm going to talk about it. But my other question was, like, what, are they going to bring it the next day? And then, like, well, I made fucking pork roast today.
I also just had pizza.
This happened.
Right? Yeah?
This happened Wednesday night.
Really?
Wednesday night this happened.
Did they expedite the order?
No, it was Taco Bell.
Manager show up.
So I showed
Taco Bell has taco insurance?
No.
Oh, that would be amazing.
The wrong order. I showed up at my girlfriend's house.
Ghost.
A ghost just jumped. It sounds like they're jumping.
Don't do it. You have so much. Oh wait.
So I showed up at her house and I'm like, I'm starving. Do you have anything to eat? And they're like, no, like nothing dinner wise, or like we just have like chips and stuff. So I got everybody's order. They were all drunk and excited that I was going to Taco Bell.
Was this with the huge family?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, it's her and all her kids and their
right.
their significant others. So got all their orders. Ordered $50 or $60 worth of Taco Bell food.
Oh my gosh.
And I every time I would like say something new, like a bean burrito with extra red sauce, the chick would go like, oh, "Is is there anything else?"
You're like, yeah.
Yep.
We're gonna be here. We're,
yep. You're gonna. I'll take Crunchwrap Supreme. Oh, is there anything else? Is there anything else I could get you? Every time. So when I get up there, these teenagers, they hand me one bag and they're like, "We're still working on the other bag. Bring it up." And I see her look at the person bringing it and go, "Is this it?" She's like, "Yes." Runs back in the kitchen. When I get home, it's two bags of random bullshit.
Oh no.
I'm talking like breakfast scrambles and
I don't even think you ordered.
Just no, like one bag was stuff we ordered. The other bag was I'd say 10 to 15 items of randomness. So we had just like you said, I'm going to eat that shit.
Yeah.
It's random meal. It was amazing.
So, did you Google Pizza Hut?
Yeah, no, just Domino's.
Okay. So, it says, free protection for your most delicious asset. Pizza accidents happen. That's why we're introducing free carryout insurance on all carryout orders. If damage occurs to your carryout order after you leave the store, just bring it back and we'll remake it for free. Carryout orders must be returned to the same store, uneaten and in original packaging within 2 hours of purchase.
This is a whole different promotion that you're speaking of right now. This is one where if you drop the pizza, they'll replace it.
Yeah, that's the commercial.
Oh, is it?
Well,
I thought the commercial was they made it wrong.
They made a commercial about the pizza dropping and they would replace it.
Correct.
There is a new commercial out about pizza insurance.
Same promotion, different commercial?
Maybe that's the Pizza Hut.
Yeah, did you look up Pizza Hut? Or you just
I looked up
placating
Pizza
me and shaking
I looked
your
up
yeah.
Pizza Hut, I said Pizza Hut insurance, and nothing came up.
Okay.
Hmm.
Anyway, that was just something that I thought to talk about.
I like it.
That's interesting, though, because, like, when I worked back in the food and beverage industry or whatnot, like, people would come up to me and be like, "Oh, this sandwich is awful. I want a refund." Be like, "Where's the sandwich?" "Well, I ate it." Why would you eat an awful sandwich? I didn't understand that. Like, if you'd have brought it to me with, like, a couple bites out of it, I'd totally refund you. But it's gone.
Well, today we went to, was it Elmer's?
Pancake House. Something like that.
International House of Pancakes?
No, it's over by Harbor Freight on Portland Road.
Oh, yeah.
So, I ordered Canadian bacon and eggs with hash browns, or home fries, right? It's just boiled potatoes chopped up, cubed, and
really
pan fried. It's really good.
Ooh.
She got an omelet, which was amazing. So, when I got my order, and I wanted the eggs over easy, like, I noticed, like, I broke one open and was eating it, and it was like the white was still a little
clearish,
runny, like white clear stuff, and it wasn't too bad though. And I was like, "Oh yeah, I can fucking live with that." I mean, you know, I went to pop the other yolk, and literally half of the amount of the yolk was clear, just went spilled out all over, and I'm like, "Oh god!" Christine's like, "Oh my god!"
I know,
so
like,
the lady comes,
touching your hand now.
it's a girl named Rosie.
Very nice waitress.
Super awesome. If you go there, like, ask for Rosie. She's awesome. And
hi, Rosie.
I just said, "Hey, this was," and she goes, "Oh god." Like, she's seen it. I don't even have to really explain. She goes, "I'll go get another one fired up for you."
Nice.
I got a whole thing, but right at when I got it, like, I looked up and one of the cooks was out getting a drink, and
he's spitting my egg.
No. No, I didn't say anything. I finished everything almost, and I go, "God damn, that cook's spit tastes good."
Yes.
She goes, "Did you spit in stuff when you were a cook?" And I'm like, "No." And it prompted this story. Like, back in the day, long fucking time ago, in the 90s, I worked in Seattle at a University of Washington sports bar called Dante's Steak and Grog, which I believe is still there. They, on the menu, they had several breakfast items that were always on there. And I fucking hate cooking breakfast at a restaurant for people. Just because of, like, that over-easy bullshit.
There's so many. I want my crispy bacon or my soft bacon.
Yeah. And so, this a four-top comes in, two couples. They order Dante's burgers, except one guy orders a fucking Swiss and ham and whatever, mushroom omelet. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. So, I got a flat top, and I've got, like, this butter oil shit, and I slop it on there, and I put the eggs on there, and they're fucking running all over, and I'm trying to contain them and put the shit in there and flip it, and it's like, it's fucking Frank-n-Omelet. It's horrible. I'm using my little fucking rounded lid pan to fucking melt cheese in the cracks so you can't see it's all busted open, and like, I mean, it's a fucking disaster, right? I played it and fucking send it out, and I'm like, it's fucking coming back. I know it's coming back. It doesn't come back right away, so I've got shit I'm doing in the kitchen, you know, prepping, and so I'm going, and then the four top's leaving. And they're walking out, but one of the guys is veering towards the fucking window, and I'm like, here we go. Guy comes up, and I'm like, yeah, and he fucking slams a five down. He goes, it's the best fucking omelet I've ever had.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I'm just like, my God. Like, there was no love.
It's like, it's like BDSM breakfast. Punish me, Daddy. Punish me with your omelet.
It's probably because you use so much cheese to, like,
yeah,
it was amazing.
But I mean, if you put enough cheese on something, it's gonna be great. Like,
I don't know, but I was convinced that, like, he was gonna be like, "You shouldn't be a fucking cook."
Yeah,
maybe he would imitate me. Career. He would be Justin imitating me talking to me.
Oh my
you shouldn't
gosh.
Fucking cook.
What a jerk!
Hey, really glad you liked your omelet.
Yes. Do you know? Okay,
that's
I'm
one
so
of my
glad.
Favorite things is. Your impression of me.
When you do your impression of Jeff, it sounds like Michael Douglas from Beetlejuice.
Okay.
That's what it reminds me of.
Hey, come here, I got something for you.
I love it.
It's not Michael Douglas.
Isn't it Michael Douglas?
It's not Michael Douglas.
No, it's Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, I'm
I was
sorry.
Like, Michael Douglas was in Beetlejuice?
Michael
How
Keaton.
Did I miss that? Was he like the little guy with the head in the office?
The shrunken head guy.
It would be
a
so
secret,
good.
A secret star.
Right. Oh.
Imagine
it
Michael
is like Beetlejuice.
Michael Douglas is Beetlejuice, though. I just pictured Michael Douglas as Beetlejuice.
Michael.
Oh, my God. I didn't know I sounded like Beetlejuice.
Well,
Justin.
Hey, come here.
Justin sounds like Beetlejuice.
Hey, come here. I got something for you.
It kills me every time I hear it.
Bring your wife. Bring your girlfriend. Hell, bring them both.
I fucking love it. That's what I do in my car.
Like, I don't remember any of the lines from Beetlejuice.
Really? I love Beetlejuice.
I remember the song.
Oh, I love Beetlejuice.
Oh, my God. I'm fucking dying over here.
Oh, I'm smiling my
cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
Crap.
Every time I imitate you.
Woo!
Come here. Got something for you.
Oh my gosh. Ooh, I gotta get the grabbers out, you guys.
What was the candy bar that popped up out of the ground? Somebody's listening right now going, you idiot, it's this candy
right,
bar.
Right, I know.
It's a, it's the one with the coconut, the toasted coconut on the outside.
Mounds?
No. Like brown toasted coconut.
Ew, that sounds gross.
It's delicious.
What is that candy bar?
It's not Snowball. No, those aren't toasted.
Snowball.
That's
a
different
sexual
act. I know. I was thinking coconut.
Snowball's a sexual act?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I do not know. Is that another one of the ones that
he'll show you later.
Okay.
A Zagnut.
Oh!
Yes!
I don't think she'll go for it, dude.
Zagnuts, for those listening that were born at, that weren't born before 1948, it's like a Butterfinger. What? It seems like an old people candy bar.
I know, but he looked at me when he said it.
Oh, I'm looking around the room trying to make my words. Make words do talking right.
Words are
hard. It's like a Butterfinger, except it looks like it's covered in toasted coconut. That's what it looks like.
So it looks
because it is.
You dropped a Butterfinger.
It looks like you dropped it looks like a very dirty Butterfinger. It looks like somebody laid a finger on your Butterfinger.
It's a candy bar, and it's also what's in the corner of Sunset Pictures.
Zagnuts.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, Zag, these are my nuts.
Yeah, because Sagnuts was taken.
Hashtag Sagnuts.
We need to copyright it right now.
Oh. And Christine, just for the reference, and I'm gonna pantomime this while I'm explaining it to you. Snowballing is a sexual act. I'm pretty sure that's where you... I'm not actually pantomiming, I'm just joking.
Aww.
But they can't see me, they don't know.
I'm gonna go pantomime it in her face.
So it's where you finish, and then you put what you finished in your mouth, and then you kiss your partner. That's no... Am I correct in that?
Well, like, you finish in her mouth, and then you make out with her.
Oh, I thought you...
Oh, I'm like, because I was like, how do you get yours in your own mouth?
I thought you finished on her tummy or in her belly button or something, and then...
Well, you just put a twist on it.
I did put a twist on it.
That's the pink snowball.
Also, it feels better if you put a twist on it.
Oh, speaking of new twists, Christine was unaware of the one of the names for a butthole.
Oh, God.
Balloon knot.
I was laughing so hard at that today.
Because it's perfect.
And I could have, up until this point, owned it as my own. Because she's like, did you just make that up?
I'm like, shit, it looks just like one.
You should. I know. I'm like, that totally looks like a butthole.
It does.
That wasn't your voice, by the way.
What? It looks just like one.
I know. You made me sound like Scooby-Doo.
Oh, it looks just like one. Rubber balloon knot, Reggie.
Oh, my gosh.
Again.
Rick me into maroon rock, Reggie.
Oh, man.
You do that pretty good.
Yeah, you do. It's
you gotta get scared.
That's going in the bedroom, you guys.
New role play.
So while we're Jeff and Christine made us Thanksgiving dinner today, and we ate before we talked. We started talking to you, beautiful people, and. Jeff and Christy were talking about all the like impersonations they do in the bedroom. It's so good.
21.4 gigawatts.
Well, that was just today because his hair is like extra special long right now.
It is.
Well, my hair looks like Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future. And so then I go up to her and I'm like, we need to get back to the future, Marty. Which I don't know sounds like him right now when I try
you
to.
You sounded like you were like him along with like a guy from Jersey. Just yeah. Now.
You look like a Morty. sexy bearded eraser head.
I feel like that. Sexy. Some of the time.
Bearded eraser head.
Oh my gosh.
That is pretty long right now.
Our two podcasts ago, prior to the podcast, Justin wanted to talk about Iggy Pop's post-pop depression.
Oh man.
Album.
Yes.
He had just started listening to it.
So I follow a bunch of art. So there's a few things I follow on Instagram. Boobies and artists. And this artist that I follow did a painting tutorial. And he in the background he was playing this song. And I'm like, who is that? It didn't sound like... It sounded kind of like Iggy Pop. But I knew it definitely wasn't Iggy Pop. But then it kind of sounded like Queens of the Stone Age a little bit. It's fucking Queens of the Stone Age and Iggy Pop.
What?
It's not Queens of the Stone Age. It's only Josh. And
well, he's got a pretty... Josh has a really specific sound. Like, when you hear him play, you know it's him. So it had that same kind of eerie guitar riffs and the same... beats that kind of just, I think they go along with how he plays guitar.
So, I have this from the Wikipedia page.
Ooh.
So we can all learn about it.
Ooh.
Oh, Ranger Jeff.
Ranger Jeff is also knows about music even.
Ooh, Wikipedia.
So, Iggy Pop and Josh Homme began working on the album Post-Pop Depression in January of 2015. Iggy contacted Josh by text message to ask if he was interested in writing music together.
You imagine just getting texted by Iggy Pop out of the blue?
You can look up Josh Homme an interview where he talks about it. He's like, I got a text. It was from Iggy Pop. And I was like,
right.
And I freaked the fuck out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's the right. That's appropriate.
So, and after they spoke, he sent Josh some lyrics through the mail along with notes about timing. Or he sent notes about when he worked with David Bowie. So 3 months later, Josh sent the lyrics back to him and they agreed to work together. And they brought incomplete ideas as opposed to finishing songs to what they could work on together.
Oh, that's the best.
And he described the album as discussing issues on what happens when your utility is at an end and dealing with your legacy.
Wow.
So there's 9 songs on the album, and it was recorded at Rancho de la Luna and Joshua Tree over the course of 2 weeks, and another week at Pink Duck Studios in Burbank. They self-financed the entire album. Dean Fertitta, who is... The first time I knew about Dean Fertitta, he played guitar and keyboards for the Raconteurs, and then he played with the Dead Weather with Jack White.
Yeah. Mm.
And then he became... part of Queens of the Stone Age. He toured with him and then he became part of the band. So he recorded guitar and keyboards. Matt Helders was the drum person. I don't know who he is. But there's a guy named Matt Sweeney who has a YouTube guitar tutorial show that he has stars on. He has had like Josh Homme.
Ooh, cool.
And it's called Guitar Moves or something like that. And it's really good. He plays bass. So, yeah. And I went and saw the show when they came to Portland at Keller Auditorium. And it was fucking amazing.
That's right.
And now I'm just singing Night Moves in my head, but with guitar moves.
So, but Iggy, like the song David Bowie made famous, China Girl, that's Iggy Pop's song. It's not David Bowie's song.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. That's and they did that, like all fucking rocked out and
that was my favorite.
Crazy. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And Iggy, true to form, was like in a shirt for like 1.5 seconds, and then it was off. It
well,
just
I
ran
know.
Around gyrating and fucking singing. It was so amazing.
Probably part of his contract now. No shirt.
Well, and I was excited when you brought that up to talk about, because I am like the hugest Josh Homme fan. Like, literally.
You are.
Like, if I could get something, I'd probably let him do me.
Well, he said that he's his man crush. That's his man
Well, yeah,
crush
if I was,
too.
Like, gay, I would be like, I would crush on Josh Homme because he's just, like, magnificent.
Yeah. But, and he has nice shoes.
But it's all, he has amazing fucking shoes.
He always does.
And that black leather jacket.
Woo! Well, but, like, and his... Just the way he talks, like he was just on Joe Rogan's podcast, and it's like it's almost like he's stuttering, but it's like he's taking time to think about what he's going to say.
Yeah, Joe keeps bringing it back to this, like, really just, like, machismo, like, you know, really rough and raw aspect. He doesn't think, he just talks and doesn't really think about it, and you can tell Josh is, like, making a purpose of saying really well thought out things and just like being a good human.
Well, and like even when Joe is like bringing on that like machismo shit, like Josh is like, yeah, like I know that too, but like what about this? And just the way that he carries himself and like his and the music that he makes, like it just makes my hair stand up. It's fucking amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's artists that I, yeah.
Well, and like, I remember a quote from him one time, and it was like, there's all sorts of people that make music, and there's all kinds of music in the world, you know, and there's like the music that you just hear on the radio over and over again, but like, I'm making music for the person that wants to listen to this song 5,000 times in a row. And literally, I do that with, like...
You do that.
The latest song off
said,
of...
You do.
Yeah.
I did say do.
I quadruple do it.
I do
but,
it.
But Desert Sessions is a thing that he's done for years. and it's always released in Desert Sessions 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, and it's started in the early 90s, and now 11 and 12 just got released.
And a lot of the time it's mystery. Nobody knows who's...
No, you know who's on there.
Really? I thought it was a lot of the Desert Sessions were like mystery performers, and you didn't know who was singing
No, you know who's on there.
Okay, maybe he released a song. He released a song for the new album before it was out, and everybody was trying to guess who was singing it. That's
before you could see.
Correct. Yeah, album. I'm guessing that's what it was.
The single. Cover.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and they slowly released the people that are on the albums, but
okay,
like Les Claypool plays bass on the first four songs, which is the first album.
Love him.
And yeah, and it's different than what you would usually hear Les play. But there's a song on the second side that Josh sings, and like I can't stop listening to it. It's
be singing it.
Yeah, I can't stop. It's unbelievable.
I'm gonna need you to text that to me, sir.
It's a good song. Yeah,
it's very good.
That's how I am with that one that I posted not too long ago. Colors by the Black Pumas.
Ooh, I've been listening to that after you posted it. God. It's so good.
All of the stuff. I never skip a song when they come on now.
That Taco Bell story I told where we were eating random garbage Taco Bell, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We were listening to that album thanks to you.
Aww,
in the kitchen the whole time.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm glad you shared it with them.
That was good. So, I have ADD. We all know this because I just talk about random bullshit. But when I told you that I'm singing Guitar Moves, but to the tune of
Night Moves.
Night also,
Night Moves.
Yes, same song. So I'm at work the other day, and on the overhead, a song comes on that never plays. And I'm telling you guys, the same 15 to 20 songs play all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I could kill at some garbage ass songs at karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
But that song, I don't know who it's by. I don't know even what the name of the song is. But it's the one that goes, "Don't pour your love out on me, baby."
Yeah. If you do, then I think maybe I...
So I don't know the lyrics, but it's playing. And then you go in the bathroom. I go in the bathroom to pee, and there's no overhead in the bathroom. But I'm still singing it. I didn't realize that the stalls were full until...
Somebody started singing with you?
No.
Oh,
no,
that would be even better.
No, I'm... this is what I was singing. I texted it to my friend because it was ridiculous. And there were... I didn't... realize there were people in the bathroom with me, but I was singing like, "Don't pour your love out on me, baby, cause if you do, I'll fucking titty mouth. Don't give me a fair, fair, fair." And I look, and there's feet under the fucking stall.
I'm just, if you do, then I think I'm titty mouth.
Then I do, I'll fucking titty mouth.
So you were car singing in the bathroom.
Yes.
And you had an audience that you didn't know about.
You made that sound like Elvis there for a second.
That's I thought that song was by Elvis, because when I sing it in my head, it's in a Elvis voice. Don't pour your love out on me, mama.
You do a good Elvis. Come on.
Peanut butter and banana sandwich, thank you very much.
Don't leave me like a dick in the dirt.
I just keep thinking about that song. Like, one of the lines is, "Nitpicking naysayers barking like beagles through the tall grass of poisonous tongues."
Jesus.
Is that, "Don't pour your love out on me"?
No, the one he was talking about.
Josh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that you've had it in your head so long, you know the lyrics like in and out.
Tightwads and nitwits and critics and heels, correcting your grammar for fun.
Ooh, that's me.
Slide down your throat like an antidote you can quote.
That's also me.
Fits like a glove.
It almost sounds a little bit like your Matt's emails back and forth.
It does. It really does. Wow.
And Matt hasn't emailed me lately.
Well, what the hell?
I don't know. He hasn't replied to my messages either.
Maybe he's not listening.
Because he had a comment about our Halloween episode about what he, like, what he thought about the
Ouija.
The Ouija board shit.
Oh yeah. Because he's into stuff like that, isn't he?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought he was.
No, he leans to this side.
Gotcha.
Well, we've been safe. There's been no spirit activity. Except for that...
There was a crash in the house.
That weird...
From another room, and we're the only ones here.
It's the tub. It does it all the time. The ghost lives in the tub and it hangs out there.
There's been
tub?
No spirit activity. Is this by the way, there's a noise in the bathroom that happens all the time.
No, I was like, that's where he lives. He lives there. It's
the
good.
Spirit that I was most afraid of in The Shining was from the bathtub, so.
Oh, that creepy lady.
Mm-hmm. I recently saw Dr. Sleep.
Oh, yeah, how was that? I wanted to go see
that. I didn't know how they were going to do it, but I liked it.
Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, but we. It's Center Street, and what's the other street we were on? New Asian foot massage place that just opened up.
I have no idea what road that is.
I think we're going tomorrow.
Yeah. Ooh. That's where he goes and get foot massages, and maybe you can get your butthole waxed. Or no, not waxed, bleached.
So
that's what the balloon thing came up.
Sometimes I don't know what's going on over there. It's all good.
So this happened at work the other day.
Speaking of waxing your butthole.
No, this is way off subject. So yesterday I was at work and there was a husband and wife there.
I love when you like, I know it's gonna be good when you start, you haven't said anything and you're laughing already.
This one made me gag.
So, oh no.
Buckle up, bitches.
Oh, shit.
So I can't tell you guys who they are. This is strictly confidential.
I wouldn't want to know.
But the husband was like, yeah, I came around the corner this morning and one of the dogs was choking on something. And I ran over and I like had to dig it out of its mouth and I pull it out by the string.
No.
And it was a half-eaten tampon.
Oh, no.
So the husband is telling me this, and he's like, all of us are like, bleh. And I see the wife later on in the day, and she's like, I'm like, hey, how you doing? You having a good Thanksgiving? And she's like, I'm just not feeling good. I'm like, what's up? She's like, I said, did you eat too much? You know, like trying to keep it light. And she's like, just feeling a little crampy. And I was like, I pointed down to her downstairs mix up and I was like, you making dog treats?
Oh my God.
Also super weird that a person is just like, I'm feeling crampy. Who the hell says that to like someone?
Me.
Unless I know you really, really, really well, I'm not sharing my menstrual cycle.
Like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm in pain.
Hold on a second. What did she say when you said that?
Oh my God!
Justin!
Yeah, I got a smack in the arm for that one. But I see people that are like family.
They're like family.
You get on a personal level with them.
Yes.
That is so crazy.
You're making dog treats.
I wish a dog go after that.
I had a cat.
Tastes like a fucking penny.
I know.
Oh. Maybe the dog was low on iron.
Tastes like chewing on a penny.
Like a big penny roll. That's so gross.
It's like licking a penny.
I had a cat that would dig our Q-tips. It loved earwax.
Oh my
It would
gosh.
Like come up and like lick the inside of your ear. Ew. While you're watching movies.
No.
So it would, we'd be cleaning the house and we'd like, you know, lift the carpet up on the floor, on the hardwood floor, and there would be like 20 fucking Q-tips under the carpet.
The cat is like hoarding Q-tips. Hijacked out of the garbage can.
They all have poofy afros on the end from the cat chewing all the earwax off.
Oh, that's so gross. Little cat popsicle or suckers.
Stuck on their tongue. I worked at a vet clinic many, many, many years ago, and a client brought in their dog because it had gotten in there and eaten a tampon out of the garbage, and I couldn't help myself because it was one of those poofy white dogs, like Bichon Frise or whatever, we used to call them Bitch and Fries. And I was like, well, you got what you eat. Because it was so poofy and white, and I like, couldn't really see its face.
Little cotton ball.
I was like, man.
Turned into a tadpole.
It feels like a string.
Boop.
That's a Halloween idea for that family.
Yeah.
Their dog could be a tampon.
They just feed it some yarn.
A fake,
and then it, as it
little bit of fake blood?
Out.
No, just the tails, the string, and get it all red on that.
Ed.
And I was like, when you started to tell that story, I was like, what was it like covered in blood right there?
Luckily, no. Oh my God. I probably would have had an issue.
When you started telling your story, Justin, I thought the dog was going to have a vibrator in its mouth.
I thought it was going to be some sort of sex toy. Like,
yeah, I was thinking a condom.
That's what I said.
Like I instantly condom. Went butt plug. Or anal beads. Just shaking it around the yard.
Yeah, one time at band camp. No. I was involved in an incident where a husband came and said, my wife might need medical attention. And we're like, what's going on? And after a while, he revealed to us that she had put a vibrator in her ass.
And lost it.
And it was still in there.
Sucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then she appeared. And we were trying to talk to her, and she was like not having any of it. And she couldn't believe that he had said something.
Is this at the casino? Oh, like when you're working security?
I can either confirm or deny where
she was.
She was
probably so embarrassed, but you have to have somebody
it was,
help.
It was when you did loss prevention for Walmart.
You couldn't prevent that loss.
That's it.
There's
so,
nothing you
exactly
could do.
What it was.
I follow a few nursing forums on mm-hmm. Facebook, and once a month somebody will post a an x-ray of a foreign object, and every time all the comments are like, I bet they fell on it. Because when people come in with like a light bulb up their ass, they're like, I slipped and fell, it went right up my butthole, right up the old balloon knot.
I got questions like the pizza insurance.
Okay,
cool. A light bulb is
yeah, that's so
very
dangerous.
Fragile and very dangerous to stick into an orifice that is like.
I just use that as a reference.
Okay.
No, but I've seen
sure it's happened.
Light bulbs, like X-rays of light bulbs. Like you can't find like a fucking
Coke bottle.
No, like a fucking big spoon to stir your pot of shit.
Just to let you guys know, this is Jeff brainstorming things he would put in his ass.
Yeah,
I know.
Rather than a light bulb.
A spoon.
Like I'm pantomiming it.
This episode has been brought to you by Pantomime.
And whatever I can get in my asshole. To keep those nurses happy.
Can you imagine like working in an ER, the things you must like on an I wonder if it's like a weekly basis. How often is like shit coming in with like in the butt that shouldn't be there?
Or like people that could have gotten medical help and gotten something fixed, but let it go so long.
Oh, yeah.
That now they're in the ER.
That's a big one.
Yeah. There are a lot of photos.
Like, that is not only infected, it's falling off now.
Congratulations.
It should have gone to the doctor sooner. Go that ear.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be like one of the worst jobs, ER nurse.
I'd give you these discharge papers, but you'll probably shove them up your ass.
But I already have discharge.
Yeah, that was why I came here in the first place. Well, why do you have discharge? I got a chopstick in my pee hole.
Oh, my God.
Right? Yeah. By the way, that's called, here's another term for you, a phrase for you, Christine. Sounding.
Yeah.
Sounding is when you put an item, slide an item into your urethra.
Huh. To make your wiener bigger?
Pee-hole!
No, just because you like the feeling of something going in your...
Why?
Pee-hole.
Oh, that sounds not
now,
pleasant at all.
On a different note...
So
and
you're
this
not
is,
into sounding. Congratulations.
Not into sounding.
Like, getting a catheter sounds horrible to me, and I never want one. So that's like...
Well, it sounds like
just like a kid in vegetables, you haven't had it done, so you don't know if you like it or not.
Well, I had a catheter when I was in surgery, but I don't remember getting it put in. So.
Right.
I remember it coming out.
Uh-huh. So, a complete change of subject.
Oh, you're just going to go to sounding, and then you're just going to change the subject. Okie dokie.
You brought up sounding.
No, I didn't.
I just... Chopstick
in your pee hole.
You silly goose.
You just explained it.
I'm just talking about
discharge. I feel like next time I play Words Against Humanity, I'm going to be...
Okay, go.
Her cards gets me angry.
This is how cute Jeff and Christine are. Here in the J2K studios, right next to the fireplace. Right above the fireplace. Is hanging two stockings. One's J, has J embroidered, and one K. And it is so cute.
You're like those little mini stockings.
Mm-hmm. We should put a little two in the center.
Yeah.
J2K.
Yeah, and in our bedroom, there's a giant J and K with an and symbol in between.
Oh.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then my brother came to visit, like, in September, and my ex-boyfriend starts with a J.
He goes, did you just leave those up there?
Yeah, he goes, did you just leave those up there?
Oh, my gosh.
I go, no, I got them.
Fucking Mikey, I love him. I'm like, he's like, oh, you just leave them up?
Jeff and I just bought these.
That's so funny.
That Jeff, he's really open-minded. I like it.
Yeah. He's like, go ahead and leave it. My name starts with a J.
And in the 4 years we were broken up, I like to take them down once. Yeah, I just slept under my former ex and I's initials.
Yeah, for 4 years.
I sure missed that guy that was so fucking mean to me.
Oh my gosh.
Not too far from the truth for some people.
All right. We're going to take a little break.
Hey, everybody, we're back. It'll be fine. My name's Jeff. Hey.
Come over here, I got something to show you. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Was that Elvis or Beetlejuice?
That was Beetlejuice's Elvis and Michael Keaton and Michael Douglas.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to get all those together, but they do live here.
Perfectly.
So, we're back, and we're towards the end of our podcast, and I like to do the thing called What's Good, and it doesn't have to be whatever. It could be whatever. What's good for you right now? What's good?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
Life is fucking good.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Man, I've been so happy recently, you guys.
Yeah.
Everything's going well. Relationships with families, relationships with women's, relationships with...
With your woman or with just all the women's?
Women's. All women's.
All kinds of women's. All
right. I've always got along well with women's.
No, I think that's a big part of it, like, being in a relationship where it's, like, mutual.
Yeah.
And cool. But then, everything else has just been going well, too. Like, I don't have any money, but I don't fucking care. I haven't been drinking, and that's, like, made me so happy because I don't feel like shit all the time. And, everything's just going really well. Sorry to rub it in your face. all you people with shitty lives.
Do it.
Wow. He even like pantomimed like the African-American girl head
bobble. Oh. It could be an any girl head bobble.
Well, I saw African-American girl.
I guess if anybody else does it, it's cultural appropriation.
Is it? Because like I imagine Lizzo doing it.
Oh my gosh, he does
Lizzo.
He does a good routine to Lizzo.
I bought her album and I've been listening to it.
And I want
to
record it.
I was like, babe, you gotta listen to this. And she's just like, she's in a disbelief that I am playing this music. And I'm like, not only playing it, but I'm like singing it and I'm pantomiming, like doing the dance. And like, she's like,
I was like, all the lyrics.
Check you out.
It's so good.
It is good.
It's just fucking amazing. She is like, the girl's got it going on, man. And she is unapologetically just like living for her and don't got time for any of this bullshit. And, you know, Jerome, take your ass home.
Her lyrics are real. And you know what's even more real? Her understanding of music. She plays the flute. She writes music. Mm-hmm. She writes her own lyrics. She like... It's fucking real. She's the real deal.
Yeah.
And I love that.
It's super amazing. Like, I love the album.
There are some musicians that sing, like pop songs, and you know some bitch wrote that for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know somebody was sitting in an office some little nerdy guy pushing up his glasses, writing about shaking people's asses and stuff.
Right.
And you could tell Lizzo wrote the damn lyrics.
Yeah.
She's making that music.
Meanwhile, we're going to block Baby It's Cold Outsize, but here's Cardi B telling you to eat her ass.
Right?
I know, right? I was playing at work the other day. I go, wait a minute, I thought we blocked this
song.
No,
it was playing in the store.
Oh, yeah, that's where it was.
You're like, wait a minute, I thought they blocked a song.
I thought we weren't listening to this anymore.
Well, I would just piggyback off of you. Like, what's good for me is that life is good, and I am in a relationship with somebody who I love very much, and it is a mutual thing. Like, it's this, God, I can't even describe it. It's like the work you put in just seems effortless when it's that mutual. Like, you know, you can do that work that maybe with another relationship you had, like, felt like, oh, God, sort of thing. So
you have that reciprocation.
Yeah, it's weird. And I think that the key, like the relationship piece is one part of my life. And the other part of my life going well is directly proportionate to me not getting in my own way and setting up roadblocks for myself, taking responsibility for my own shit when I fuck. Like when I apologized to you, like I was a dick to Justin on Monday. I felt like I was. And I called him on like Wednesday on my way to work or Tuesday. And I was just like, dude, I got to apologize to you. But like owning your own shit like that and making amends or whatever you got to do, like to keep your fucking side of the street clean, to use recovery terms, that makes it so my life is fucking amazing. Like, and everything will fall into place if you just do those small little things like that you need to do to keep going forward. That's what I've noticed too. That's what's good. Besides the turkey I cooked tonight.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Holy shit. Three cubes of butter is the key.
I think.
Butter.
You're not going to get out of this one. I'm going to bring it back. Since you brought it up about you. So Jeff called me up the other day and apologized. He was like, I feel like I've, you know, been unkind to you or kind of treated like a dick recently over a couple of certain circumstances. And I just wanted to apologize. I'm making this brief. What he said, it was really sweet. But I had him on speakerphone, and because usually conversations with Jeff are pretty PC and not about anything too important, and so I wasn't expecting this. And so my 10-year-old son is out of school, and he's in the room, and Jeff's like,
I just you know, I kind of feel like I've been a dick to you, and you know. Fucking asshole about some stuff.
Hey,
come here. Let me show you something. I just love you, buddy. I just wanted to say sorry and love you, man.
My son was just like wide eyed, like you're like, because Jeff keeps over and over saying, which is, you know, if you guys know me and Jeff, like, but my son doesn't listen to this podcast, so when Jeff is like, I just feel like I've been mean to you, buddy, and. Been mean to you, and I love you, man. Mm-hmm. And my son's like, So does Emily know?
I only said I love you like twice, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean it every time.
No, it was good. It was heartfelt.
Yeah.
And
because it had to be.
It kind of sounded like you love me in the I want to kiss you on the mouth kind of way.
Well, we almost did when you got here today. Like, we did a man hug, but our faces went the same direction usually. You know, you go opposite directions. So he popped me one on the cheek and said, that's from my mom.
That was a good improv.
Yeah. After the phone call, my son was like, was that Jeff? Was that the guy you do the podcast with, Daddy? I was like, yep, that was Jeff. Was he being mean to you?
Aww.
I was like, not really. You know, we just, you know, we're friends, and you know, I think he felt bad for something, and he wanted to apologize. That's really nice, Dad.
Aww.
Jeff guy's a nice guy. Yeah, it was good.
That's cool.
I promised myself I wouldn't cry.
I got so many of those today, all day today.
What about you guys?
Yeah.
What's good?
Like, Justin's got to leave, and you guys are just stalling.
We're trying to see what's going on. Didn't we say we weren't going to talk over each other?
is.
Since when you follow my rules.
I have a lot of amazing friends in my life that stick by me no matter what's going on, whether they agree with it or not. They're always there, and they're always there to listen and help me, and it makes a world of difference for me.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that is good.
Good. Friends and family, number one, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, take, I guess, piggybacking onto what you said, you know, life is good right now. Having, I've been doing, as I've talked about on several podcasts, trying to separate work from home. And
well,
I've...
Like, living, like, work to live
yeah,
instead
and
of live
had
to
a
work.
Lot of, like, I have had a lot of moments, even just today, I was just saying, where I have finding moments and, like, things, like, the thing about the gift and...
Right.
And just, like... crying for no reason or getting welled up for no reason because I'm like living in that moment.
Feeling the emotion.
Yeah.
Like that's where that comes
your
from.
Presence.
Like
yeah.
when I was talking about Josh Homme, I was almost started crying because I'm like I feel it.
Yeah. And that's good. You know it, you know life is going good for you if you're able to see those little moments and having them like fill you with good emotions.
Like the cheese on a shitty omelet.
Exactly.
The best omelet that you ever had.
The best. What looks like a shitty omelet to you, but actually to other people, that shit is amazing.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is you're amazing, Christine.
We're all amazing people.
You're the
right?
cheese on our omelet.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy
everyone.
Thanksgiving.
And on that note, we like to do this at the end of the show. 1, 2, 3, 4,
J2K. J2K.
We're all in heat for Josh Homme. And now I know what a means.
We're pantomiming it right now.
J2K. J2K.
Don't pour your love out on me, fucking titty mouth. Fart box. Tampon chew toy.
J2K.
J2K.
What was that again? Fart box.
Balloon
knot. Tampon chew toy. Oh my god, everybody, remember.
Titty mouth.
Titty mouth. Fart box. Balloon knot. Tampon chew toy. You can find us on all the...
podcastings.
Yeah, everywhere you podcasts are available, we're there. We are on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at J2KPodcast. At gmail.com is where you can get a hold of us and send us stories about how you shit yourself.
Yeah, thanks for the emails, guys.
Thank you, Amber.
Thanks for all the tweets you twatted us.
Yeah. Rochelle, thank you so much for being here. We love you so much.
Pleasure.
And Matt McMaines, get a hold of us, buddy.
Get on it, dude.
We're waiting. Oh, yeah, and we love the D, the big Jeff D.
Jeff D, baby. Jeff!
Jeff!